This morning's scripture lesson is found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. And love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Or as Claridel says, God loves you, and so do I. The word of the Lord. I'm really excited about Tyler's baptism on the 28th of July, because you all have known him longer than I have. You've known him since cradle roll. This is his church family. And you have seen him every Sunday faithfully here. And he's put up with me and other children preachers, sermonettes. He's been stuffed full of sugar from Claridel, from all the candy treats. And from Mark's, sometimes Mark and Rod put devious little thoughts in his head. And Doug always seems to wash that stuff out with his moments. But it's a big day, because he is a sign of a faithful church. He's here. And he's come to the place in his life where now his parents, when he was dedicated, promised to bring him to this point in his life journey, faith journey. And he is saying yes. That's pretty important, and you have supported that. So it's going to be a very important day, so I hope you all are here, and there's others here as well. Because that's what it's all about. And what's he responding to? He's learned that God loves him, and so do you. And now he needs to say, God loves me and loves you, and so do I. John, the gospel, not the gospel, but 1 John, talks about us being in a family. When we are in Christ, we are also in family. We have brothers and sisters. when a person becomes a Christian, it just basically means that you have the same anointing as Christ Jesus to continue his ministry. Christos just means the anointed one, and Christian continues from that root that you are anointed with the Holy Spirit of God to continue that ministry. And that you are part of Christ's people, his body. And you really cannot fulfill your promises as a Lone Ranger. You're a believer, but you're not participating in the ministry with your brothers and sisters. That's important. And not just with the local church, but that's with our regional church, our general church, and also all bodies of Christ throughout the world, whether Catholic or Protestant or non-denominational. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we as disciples, we claim that. We claim that we are part of the family of God. And we need to love other Christians as well as those people here in this room. In fact, in Jesus' day, a rabbi in a synagogue would call his members, his children, and they would call him Papa. And that's where we get the tradition for the Pope being called Papa, Pope. We don't have that in our tradition. Don't you dare call me Papa or Grandpa or... But it is that kind of relationship, a pastor and his people. We're a family. And I think a pastor is evaluated on how the people love one another. I think if that happens, then that's a test of a faithful ministry. And you've had a lot of faithful ministers because Tyler is an example of a loving congregation. And we've seen that here in this place in my 5 years here. When the early church gathered in homes on Thursday evenings, because that's the day the slaves were given a night off and they could gather in households, they had worship services. And in fact, the church was first called the household of God in Ephesians 2:19. And the church today, we refer to it as the family of God. And all of us gathered here today are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And family takes care of family in times of need. And in my short time with you, that I've seen that on a number of occasions. Whether it's in a trivia night, or it's in a potluck, or a funeral dinner, or a worship in the park. It's too hot for a worship in the park. We care for one another, and we also celebrate together. In death, we have wept and mourned with one another. And we've also gone through the grief process with one another. Problems do arise in church families, and the church family is no exception. My most favorite moment was when we were in negotiations with First Christian Church. And Teresa asked, "Well, Jim, what conflicts has 15th Avenue had since you've been there?" And I had a chuckle because the biggest conflict we've had since I have been here is over Claridel and her healthy food and versus this is cookie and coffee time. That was the biggest thing. That was not a conflict. That was just funny. And Teresa, she got a kick out of that as well. We're just like a family. We gather in small groups, just like those first Christians did. Sometimes we meet in others' homes, and recently we've been meeting in the fellowship hall for a Bible study. And that's been very, very important because we have Melissa just joined the congregation because of that Bible study. And she is going to be a great, great person from the church, and God's got great things in store for her. Carrying on the pop traditions. We tell our stories here. This is a place of welcoming and acceptance and warmth and fellowship. It's also a safe harbor for naming our failures and getting support and making courageous confessions because you know that people love you here and you will be received here. It's very important. It's kind of like a ring, a wedding ring. We call it in wedding services. I think that's what we did with Judy. We held up the ring and we said it's a sacred symbol, a sacred circle. It has no beginning, it has no middle, it has no end. It's a circle, and a circle is eternal. It's as eternal as God's love, as our life in Christ. We in this congregation, as we gather on Christmas Eve services and make that circle in this room, we create a sacred circle. It's a circle of support and love. It's a family. Every Sunday, we recite the Lord's Prayer, and both the words are our and Father indicate a relationship that we share. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are children of God, sharing the same Father within a huge family. In fact, it's so large, the Apostle Paul tells us it's both Jews and Gentiles and all of humanity are fellow heirs. We are members of the same body and share in the promises. And when we understand how much God loves us, it should make us act differently. I know you've heard all the self-fulfilling prophecies as you were growing up. Because when a child is told that he or she is dumb or lazy or stupid or won't amount to a hill of beans, that's how that child will feel. And for many children, that's what they will become. There's so much hateful speech. So much anger, so much rejection, and these people are like walking zombies believing those words are true. But when someone says, I love you, you are somebody, you're valuable, or God loves you, and so do I, and you act upon that and act on that, it will change that life and will free them from that distorted destiny. Out in Yetiville, Bill, there's a story about Ben Hooper. And I've told you this once or twice, but I want to tell it to you again because it'll drive the power of love home that we've seen in our Rise Up children. And we have heard about last Sunday with Steve Gottsent. In fact, he sent me an email, and many of you have responded saying that you are wanting to help him with your time and your talents. And also, some of you said that you're going to contribute to that ministry to help the homeless vets. And he was just overwhelmed by your response. That's what it's about. That is what it's about. Well, anyway, Ben Hooper was raised by a single mom in the Depression times. And little Ben didn't know his father's name, didn't know who he was. He was raised in a small town in Appalachia. And his mother didn't make much money, because women back then didn't make much money. And she would give him clothes from a hand-me-down store or clothing from a church basement. And he hated going to school in the morning because as he went to school, especially in the fall, wearing sweatshirts and sweaters, when he got close to the school, he usually took the sweater or the sweatshirt off and put it in the drain, in ditch, because he didn't want some little boy or girl saying, "Hey, there's Ben, he's wearing my sweater this week, or he's got my sweatshirt on," and would just make fun of him all day long. Little Ben. Or when he was in the grocery store with his mom, the women would say, "Oh, look at his face. Doesn't he look like so-and-so? I bet you so-and-so is his father. Ben, do you know he..." "No, I don't know." And his mother would get embarrassed and upset and just leave the store. Poor little Ben. He was mistreated because he was born out of wedlock. Was that his fault? No. But the whole place let him know about it. The one place he would like to go was little Ben would sneak into that church. And he would, on Sunday mornings, and he loved to hear about how much God loved people. And that God died because God loves the lost. And he would sneak up in the balcony and hide in the corner and listen to those words. And then he would race out down the stairs through the front door before the service ended, because he didn't want someone saying those horrible things to him in church. His little wounded heart was healed in those church services. But his greatest nightmare happened one day, one Sunday. The minister got to the back to do the closing prayer. And as little Ben was coming down the stairs, he didn't see that coming. And when he got into the foyer, the preacher grabbed him as he was running away. He turned little Ben around and looked him right in the face. And he said, "Boy, boy, I know who you are. I know your father." And little Ben started to cry. He thought, "Oh my gosh, here it comes. Even my preacher." And he said, "Boy, your father is God, and you're a child of God. Now you go and claim your inheritance." Little Ben Hooper left that church a changed person. And Fred Craddock told this story about Ben Hooper. And Ben Hooper was the first governor of Tennessee born of an illegitimate father. He was an illegitimate son. And he served 2 terms in Tennessee. he claimed his inheritance. And he is known to be someone who told people, God loves you, and so do I. Love can change. As Claridel's told us over and over again, God loves you, and so do I. Let us continue that calling and that ministry, and let us walk in the light of love. Amen.